Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast. Yo, let's get it going out there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome on into the Sports Buffoon Studios once again here out of Lenexa, Kansas, of course. Coming right back at you on a Wednesday night, a little later than normal, but, you know, better late than never, I suppose. Right, Tanner?
Well, it seems like a normal trend, guys.
No, look, first of all, summertime's around the corner. The weather was feeling mighty fine this evening.
It was a nice night out.
It was a nice night to just kind of chill out a little bit longer. You know,
but you weren't even outside.
Well, it felt like it because, you know, we were having some, what are we having, Mai Tais and Bahama Mamas and all that good stuff. So, I mean, like, it felt like we were outside. So Jason, how do you feel about that?
Let me ask you about showing up late. How many of you people out there in the YouTube sphere, whatever the fuck you want to call it, how many of you guys like to show up late for work?
All the time.
Because if you can do that and get away with it for a long period of time, you know what that means? That means you have a great fucking job. Don't ever quit that job. That's an amazing job.
My entire career during COVID was showing up late and leaving early. And, you know, here I am.
You survived
with the same company.
You survived with a big boner.
Absolutely. And it was amazing. So I loved every bit of doing that. I proved my worth, obviously. I mean, I can get done in 6 hours what some can do in, you know,
Scott,
8 or 9.
Scott says he never shows up late.
I'm just saying the grass is not always greener on the other side.
Scott's probably a good man, maybe sometimes an overachiever, probably gets a good awards at work, but
shows up early.
I do the bare minimum and stay along just along to not get fired. Just do enough, just enough to not get fired. So it works out every time. Never been fired. So
I've never been fired from this job.
Now,
to be clear, my salary is kind of on the downtrend right now, but I do get a salary.
Sure.
But I never got fired.
But from this current job, you know, you've never been fired.
I've never been fired. It's a decent job. And I just showed up late. Boom. That proves my point.
Boom. So anyways, those of you out there listening, thank you so much for tuning in, of course. I don't know what Tanner's throwing his arms up in there about, because I have a question first and foremost to kick it off with you guys, because we're going to dive into a lot of good topics today. We got NFL, of course. We got a little bit of MLB for just a second, because I'm going to the Royals game tomorrow, and a little bit of NBA as well. But I have to ask you guys, I don't know where Tufel's at yet.
He'll hop on. I mean, you guys are late, so, but he'll hop on.
But here's the thing. I have to ask you guys, where are you guys at on your shower towels for the week? Has the wife noticed yet? And I know your wife's upstairs.
What are you talking about?
The shower towels. Where are you guys at? Has anyone said anything yet? I'm on day 7.
No, I'm not
shower towel.
Doing a. I didn't know we were. Doing
No, I thought we were doing a see whose wife says something first.
No, I don't. I didn't know we were. I'm leaving Sunday, so
no. I mean,
my towel's already made clean.
Last week we talked about how we can reuse the same towel forever, right?
You can.
And I had the question of, well, I'm going to see how long I can go until my girlfriend says something about it.
So here's the thing. I don't think my wife actually watched the show last week. However, I did tell her what the topic was, and lo and behold, when I went to get my old towel, all the towels were gone. So I feel like my wife heard about the show, or maybe she figured it out, and all those towels were fucking gone. So I did have to start fresh. I had towel this time around.
It was cleaning day.
Well, don't tell me I'm on day 7 for no reason, you guys.
You're on day 7.
You did it for no reason, man.
That was your challenge, by the way. You said you were going
to
do.
That was our challenge to the world, to start washing your damn towels and your sheets. And I think
she cleaned the entire bathroom, but did not touch my towel.
Scott says he's on day 12 of my towels without none being said. So
day 12. Okay.
Don't ever wash that towel, man.
My girlfriend's a clean freak, so I figure she's got to pick up on it soon.
If you have diarrhea, then that's a different story. You probably want to wash that towel.
Well, it comes off in the shower, doesn't it?
Well, I'm just saying, like, even if you have diarrhea and then you take a shower, you probably have a little bit still seeping out. Still want to wash the damn towel.
You're coming out of that shower.
Pretty descriptive.
That's the whole point.
Moving along. This is so last week.
I can't believe
we're
talking about this.
No, I'm going on continuing last week's discussion, the main topic of the show. So like I needed to see where you guys are at, but
this is so last week,
and then I'll ask it again next week, cause I'll probably be on day 14. So that's the plan anyway. It's a challenge to myself. Anyways, you guys. So obviously kicking it through, we have some actual like fun stuff to talk about today. You know, sports world's starting to get more interesting when it comes to the NBA. If you guys see, notice you got, I got the Valley on because Kevin Durant is back once again with the Suns playing right as we speak, unless there's been some other secret injury that I don't know about at the moment.
Pre-game. I hope everybody was watching the pregame.
Watch the pregame.
You have to watch his pregame form to make sure that, you know,
he looks all right.
His extremities are not getting, having some problems.
Right, right. And I think he's probably doing okay. We'll check out in a little while. Guys, real quick, any thoughts on Royals tomorrow, opening day? Zach Greinke's pitching.
Expectations are low.
Sure.
I mean, what else can I say?
Is it going to be a pretty rough year, you think?
It's going to be another rough year. We were, you know, definitely bottom three for most of the stats that we went over on the Buffoon Bakken show when we did the Royals breakdown.
But they did the thing they always do where they're really good in spring training.
Oh, yeah.
Every year.
And then we're going to be good every in March and April. And then May's going to hit, and that's when we're going to get stunk. It's just going to be bad.
All right. I probably believe that, too.
It's just going to be bad.
Any quick thought?
I just want to see a big year from MJ Melendez, not because he's my favorite player, but because I'm just getting sick and tired of people like on the radio talking so much shit about how shitty of a catcher he is.
He's not.
Like that's, I turn on the radio every day locally and they're like, my gosh, the dude fucking can't catch, you know, he can't play catcher or whatever. I'm like, I hope that lights the fire under his ass to just fucking start hitting bombs, dude.
You guys realize this, that we might be looking at Salvador Perez's last year as a Royal.
Sure.
With an MJ Melendez behind him.
Wasn't that the plan all along when they got Melendez?
It was a bat. Yeah, as a guy that would succeed Perez. But I'm saying, like, it's not going to be Perez's last year for himself. It's going to be more of a trade situation where a contender is going to go out, look for a guy in the Royals are willing to sell. Not that Dayton Moore is gone from this team. It's sell time. And Salvador, nobody's protected in this team. Salvador Perez for sure is not protected being as old as he is.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't even care if it, like, I'm not saying it's true. I know it's not true, but even if it were true that he was a shitty ass catcher, I don't care. I know how good of a hitter he is. I know what his potential is. And I just want to see him just explode at the plate this year because I don't give a shit.
You're going to see some young guys.
Throw him in right field. I don't care. Like, I just want to stop hearing about it. Mm-hmm. Stop talking about what he can't do, Royals fans, and start talking about what he can do. If you're a true fan, which I know the bulk of these people that we listen to on the radio don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
It's just media, right? It's just media attention. It's not going to be true. Scott says the Royals win 50 games and he wants to know, did the Royals pay you to go?
Yeah, opening day. Can't wait to be out there.
They paid you to go?
No, I didn't. Well, I'm going with the girlfriend. She's bringing some kids. She used to babysit with her. So we're doing it that way. So we're bringing some kids with us.
Bringing some kids. Is that code word for substance or is that
substance?
Are you actually bringing kids?
No, just normal ass kids.
Oh, okay.
Now we're just bringing some normal.
I didn't want to get you in trouble.
No, Jason,
my girlfriend used to be a nanny.
Yeah, it's the kids from training camp.
Oh, okay. I thought we were smuggling things into the stadium or something like that. Never mind.
Wow. We know where your brain's at for the show. Okay, well, anyways, I'll probably just go this one game this year, and then, like, I'd be surprised if I get an urge to go to another game just because I don't really see why I would, I guess.
It's going to be after stupid cheap. Maybe on a nice tickets.
Sure. If you give me $5 tickets and somehow I get free parking, then why not? I mean, otherwise, it's just about watching some of these young guys and how they grow. And of course, Bobby Witt Jr. and want to see him improve from year one to year two. And of course, Melendez, like you talked about, and just go about it that way. Hopefully Brady Singer can, you know, jump again, another big improvement. So
currently the plan is for me, the first Royals game that I should be seeing is hopefully in May when they go up to Milwaukee to play the Brewers. So that is the first chance I'm going to get there.
Yeah, we did not get Connor Dawson on this year, or this offseason, I should say, for the show. So it's unfortunate we couldn't get some insight from him as far as what it's like to be a hitting coach in the MLB for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Right. Now entering his second year as a hitting coach. Yeah.
Now he's gone through a full year of it as a coach. Now I feel like he's got to make that next jump. Something big's got to be on his mind to where he's ready to have a different idea to come at these guys with. There's no longer the shock factor of, oh my God, I'm in my 20s and coaching MLB players. Like, it's not like
he's no longer a thing. Yeah, that's what he said. He goes, all right, cool. The cool part's, you know,
that part is now worn off.
It's time to go.
You've seen the best of the best all competing, and now you're the coach. you now get out there and do your thing.
Yeah.
You know, do your best at. So
Scott says, you got the family of four package for the Royals game, four tickets, four hot dogs, four Cokes, all for $9.99.
Okay. I'll go. If you really, really dragged me out, I'll go then, I guess.
Who doesn't want to go? Who doesn't want to go out there and pay $20 cocktails? Sign me up for that.
Sugar.
You got to smuggle in the cocktails like you did back in the day, Jason.
The Royal Ritas.
Oh, yeah, I did do
the
that.
The Royal Ritas that ago. Are a sugar bomb, sugar case. It is not, there's probably a little bit of alcohol and it's just sugar from there on out because it is awful. Now, apparently, the first when they released it like 3 or 4 years ago, they were really good and they weren't sugarfied. Now they made it fully in bulk and now sugarfied it up. So. It's unfortunate.
All right, let's dive a little bit into the NFL for a few minutes, you guys. Now, obviously, we are about a month away from the NFL draft, which we are extremely excited about being a part of. And obviously, that means we're going to all be there. We're going to be getting a lot of footage for you guys out there to see, a lot of live footage probably. We're also going to put together a very, very cool video, putting together basically a day in the life of being at the NFL draft.
Yeah.
So we'll have that coming towards you guys there towards the end of April as well. And with that said, I mean, we've heard now some new things that have come out in the NFL, and Lamar Jackson has officially requested a trade
as of March 2nd.
And obviously, I mean, in a lot of ways, we're looking at some writing on the wall. He doesn't want to be there. The Ravens are being difficult to work with. Tyreek Hill's constantly tweeting about Lamar Jackson all the time. Aaron Rodgers, on the other hand, has his issues going on where the Packers have not pulled the trigger yet to make a deal go down. And then there's the Hopkins factor. DeAndre Hopkins is out there and obviously being floated out as a trade candidate for the Arizona Cardinals, current teams. I mean, you got the Bills. I mean, some people have talked about the Chiefs, whatever. My question to you guys right now is going towards the NFL draft. And now we know every NFL draft is full of draft day trades. We saw tons last year. We saw quite a few the year before too. Yeah. It's happening. It's more prominent now than ever before. Of waiting till draft day to make that deal done. I think some things are very, very close right now that are not going to be put into place until the day of the NFL draft. So my question to you guys right now is, what trade do you want to have happen or do you think is going to happen on the day of the first round of the NFL draft?
I'll talk about Lamar first because he tweeted out some things about his injury and the fact that it wasn't like 100% PCL injury that he had. It's very different situation with him because he doesn't have an agent. And so it's kind of uncharted territory, something we haven't really seen from an NFL player before. And I actually respect Lamar. There's a lot of people talking a lot of shit about the fact that, oh my gosh, dude, why are you trying to save 2% or 3% of your salary by not hiring an agent? I actually respect him for doing that because why wouldn't you try to scrape up every single dollar that you can for you and your family? And so while I respect him for that, I think he needs to watch his tweets a little bit because the one thing that you don't want to do, especially if you're negotiating for yourself as an NFL player, is you don't want to tweet anything about your injury. Okay. That's one thing that you need to be quiet because that's one thing that a lot of these teams will hold against you. Not all of the teams, because we just saw Deshaun Watson get a $240 million contract. And we all know that he had injury issues in the past, and yet he still got his money. You're still going to kind of alarm some teams out there, and you're kind of devaluing yourself when you do that. And so I want to see, while I like Lamar representing himself, I want to see him just not talk about injuries at all, because I feel like that's going to hurt him. Now, having said that, a trade that I would like to see, told you guys before, like my dream scenario would be Lamar Jackson to go to the Dolphins. Probably not going to happen just because Dolphins don't really have any assets. So I'm switching gears here a little bit. And I think that one trade that could potentially happen is Lamar Jackson going to the Indianapolis Colts. And the reason why I like that is because the Colts have the number 4 overall pick. So they do have some draft capital there. And I also like the fit for Lamar going to play with Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman Jr., It's not my best case scenario. Like I said, I'd love to see him play for Miami, but you know, I always like to see the elite quarterbacks stay in the AFC. So that makes JG happy if he stays in the AFC, but I don't want to see him play for Baltimore. Like I think that
he won't,
that thing has run its course. I mean, I know, well, people are going to say that, oh, we can work it out and whatever. He won't
play for Baltimore.
I think he's done there. So, that would be kind of a fit for him. If he goes to the Colts, I actually think they could make that work.
So one of the reasons I like that idea as far as Lamar going to the Colts is because you then have by far the best rushing tandem in the NFL with Lamar and Jonathan Taylor, as well as some weapons there to work with the Colts offensively on the outside.
Could Taylor be on his way out with the trade?
Not in the same deal. Possible. Not in the same deal. You do not trade away. No. You're trying to build up. First of all, you're giving up the fourth overall pick for Lamar.
We're talking about Jim Irsay in this thing,
listen,
right?
Listen, it would be two first round picks. It'd be the fourth overall pick this year and the first round pick of the Colts for next year. The Colts then do this. They then take Anthony Richardson to replace Lamar Jackson, who could be a similar type of style of quarterback as Lamar, which would fit the offense immediately. And you could then try to build on some of his weaknesses and you know, fix up some things that would make him a more well-rounded player. But wouldn't Lamar with the Colts be kind of a perfect fit with Frank Wright and Jonathan Taylor? And like I said,
who'd you say?
Sorry.
Said Frank Wright.
I went back in time a little bit. But you know, it sounded good, right? It sounded
confirmed,
good at first.
Confirmed.
Could be worse.
That might have been the Hercules talking.
Could be worse than Frank Reich. It could be Jeff Wednesday or whatever the fuck his name was.
Jeff Saturday. Well, he was the center for Peyton Manning, but.
Yeah, everybody's delayed today. We should
make up names as we go along, I guess. I have heard though the Falcons apparently, according to
Scott, yeah, Lamar the Falcons,
to their ownership, they're not as interested as we might have thought originally. So I'd be surprised, but then again, it's all talk. I mean, right now everyone's positioning. Everyone's kind of in a position right now where they're not wanting to show their hand. Because I think a lot of this will come down to draft day.
Here's the thing, like, why, if you're the Colts, why would you not do that deal? Like, you're in the AFC. You're never going to be competitive unless you get one of the big guns that's out there. And Lamar is the big gun that's out there. And so if you want to be competitive in your conference, I mean, that's, you have to do the deal. Otherwise, what are you doing there? I mean, you might as well just trade away Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman Jr. because they're just wasting their time.
So Dave has a good comment here because Jim Irsay already said he will not give a fully guaranteed contract to any player. And, you know, Lamar wants a 100% fully guaranteed contract.
No team is going to give him a fully guaranteed contract.
Unless you're the Cleveland Browns.
Which Deshaun Watson got his pay, you know. But I'm saying it's that is a thing that it might have happened once and it might have ruined everything.
Okay. So let's.
But it doesn't mean that people are going to give into it. Like, he can want this one thing, but what he actually is going to get, or he could just sit forever.
Okay, let's stick with this top 10, Lamar Jackson deal here. Let's say we get past draft day, we get past training camp, no deal's done. Does he play for the Ravens? Does he sit out? What happens? What's your prediction on this Lamar Jackson
story? Oh, he's definitely going to sit out. I mean, he's at least going to do Le'Veon Bell and sit out, you know, three or four games. I think he'll play. I think he would play.
For the Ravens?
I think he would play for the Ravens, but he would hold out for at least four to six games.
Why would you? If your value is not considered, why would you play at all for a team?
So what are you doing wasting time, though?
A quarterback. Like, we saw Deshaun Watson.
Which a quarterback is also the leader of a team. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be different for a quarterback to do that and then walk into the locker room and say, I'm supposed to lead you guys. That's different from Le'Veon Bell and what he did, who no one gives a crap about.
Why would a Lamar Jackson type of player who's already had it kind of in with the Ravens already, obviously wanting the trade, doesn't want to play. Why would he go risk his body, risk his self? Like, let's just say Lamar Jackson sits out for a full year. Now you know almost 100% that he's fully healthy, ready to go to lead any team. A team will go out.
I want him even less if he sits out a full year. Well, that would be arrogant of him. There's no reason to even want him at that point.
Players own the league these days. You know this.
They don't.
They do.
Owners can also say, screw you. Go figure it out in the CFL.
Deshaun Watson got signed after sitting out.
Players do not own the league. As much as you might think they want to,
Deshaun Watson had the same issue. He got a guaranteed contract.
No one has to accept Lamar Jackson on their team.
Jim Irsay is crazy enough that he gets in desperation mode. If he's 3-2 going to week 5 and Lamar Jackson still hasn't been picked up and he's not playing, he would throw in both of those picks and sign Lamar Jackson to
here's the thing. I can make a case that Lamar should just go ahead and play under the tag and see what happens with Joe Burrow's contract.
It's not going to happen.
And what happens because with Justin Herbert's contract. Because he's scared
of an injury, Tanner.
Yes.
The only reason, here's the thing.
He's not going to do it.
You have a quarterback afraid of getting injured, so he won't play underneath the tag. You also have a quarterback, that same exact quarterback saying he wants a fully guaranteed contract. Who's going to win this battle?
I don't think the team every time wins this battle. I think Lamar sits out.
The team every time. There's one Super Bowl winner at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You think,
and it's not going to be him.
No, it won't be him at all.
I don't think
that's what he's not looking at.
Ownership's not going to give up anything at all unless you give them Patrick Mahomes right now.
Lamar Jackson isn't looking to be a contender, obviously, because he wants guaranteed money. He doesn't care what team gives it to him. It's going to be in the case where Lamar Jackson will sit out. I said he sits out 6 weeks, at least 6 weeks. Before a team desperate enough goes out and gets him.
I just think there's a scenario out there that could play out where he bets on himself because he wants to see somebody else drive the market up because Joe Burrow is going to want a fully guaranteed contract.
But he Justin did bet Herbert, himself.
Justin Herbert's going to want a fully guaranteed contract. It's kind of like a timing issue with Lamar. Like I think he would be better off if he just played under the tag. And if he stays healthy, then he's going to get more money based on, you know, whatever Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert signed for.
So you're saying
what was it Arthur Smith talked about or just a couple of days ago for the Falcons? He talked about a guy that missed 5 games and 6 games, respectively, the last 2 years.
Yep.
And this guy wants a fully guaranteed contract. That's why the Falcons don't want any part of this. That's why most teams don't want any part of this.
Correct.
Because it's arrogant. It's obnoxious. Like it's stupid. We can move on. There's 4 quarterbacks going in the first round this year that are going to cost us next to nothing.
They cost Lamar you next Jackson, to nothing, but it's not the same talent level.
Lamar Jackson won a ring?
Lamar Jackson gave you at least a 1 seed.
Has he done anything yet to actually prove that he's worth a fully guarantee? Because you got a guy down there
in the Chiefs in Kansas City that's Patrick Mahomes. You're not getting past Patrick Mahomes, and now you're not getting past Joe Burrow.
Right. So these AFC teams are kind of screwed because you've got too many other good quarterbacks in front of you. So your best bet if you're Lamar is to hope that some NFC team wants you.
Guess what? Magic Johnson
close to it.
Being part of the owner of the Commanders come very, very shortly, if not already finalist. Magic Johnson's going to go out and get his guy. I will see Lamar Jackson still in the Commanders uniform.
Here's the other thing. Here's the other thing, guys. Like, look at what happened with Deshaun Watson and how long he was out of the game. How many games that he had to sit out, and then he still got that much money. I can make a case that Lamar, he's a more
2 years essentially for Deshaun.
Yeah. I mean, right? he sat out for so long, whereas Lamar never got into any trouble off the field. So I could make a case that Lamar, if he sits out half the season, he could get a bigger contract.
He could get
a bigger contract than Deshaun Watson because Deshaun did have those off the field issues, whether you guys believe that or not. Lamar is like pretty decent citizen and he won an MVP. So I can make the case that Lamar could just sit out and get more money than Deshaun Watson.
I do want you guys to remember though, Deshaun Watson had the second highest quarterback rating of all time on paper.
He also had his contract. Correct. He also had 3 torn ACLs. So I want to take the injury discussion out of this. I'm talking about full career.
Sure. When I'm talking about Deshaun Watson, he had the second highest quarterback rating in the NFL history.
I'm just saying
which was still not correct to be giving out, the Browns screwed up on that.
So,
absolutely.
So there's another guy that ended up getting paid as well. And where are you at here? Scott points it out too. Carson Palmer. He did not play for the Bengals that 1 year, forced his way out, got to play with the Raiders that next year. He's had a whole year and end up still making headway through that way. You know, Palmer didn't play.
No, the Raiders were stupid enough, like usual, to go get after.
It's also the Raiders, yes. But still,
like, we got to find someone dumb enough then to go in for that.
They're out there, man.
Carson had a good Bengals career. Carson was nowhere near the player he was with the Bengals once he left the Bengals. Nor did he expect a fully
Arizona.
Nor did he get a fully guaranteed contract.
He looked good in Arizona.
This is when Kurt Warner. This wasn't like that. Come on, it was never even close to that kind of level.
I'm just telling you that NFL owners can do whatever they want. This is trending in the direction of NFL quarterbacks basically being like NBA free agents. In the NBA, the players control MLB, almost NBA. Everything. Yep. And that's the trend this is moving. It's not going to move that direction for all NFL players,
but it's going to
move that direction for NFL quarterbacks, especially elite quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson.
But it's the wrong guy at the wrong time trying to make this happen right now.
I don't know, man. I'm not so sure about that.
The Browns are stupid for what they did for giving Deshaun Watson that contract.
But there's always
set this precedent in the mind of a Lamar Jackson who thinks he's worthy of the fully guaranteed contract. No one is worthy of that other than literally one man right now in the NFL.
You can say that that's stupid, and that might be true, but there's always a sucker in the NFL, and there's always desperation in the NFL.
We want to win.
He could potentially get paid more than Deshaun Watson with more guaranteed money, and I think that's longer. That's what he's looking for.
He is betting on right now. He's betting on who's going to be the biggest loser.
Absolutely.
Who's going to be the more?
That's what he's planning on right now. Desperate. Who's going to be the biggest dumbass that's going to pay me all this money, and I'm going to go out, tear an ACL, or you know, once again, miss half the season. Like, that's what he's going to be doing.
Hey, he's not going to be suspended like Deshaun Watson. Just sit out the whole year. Fuck it.
He doesn't worry about it.
Let's see what happens with those two contracts.
Get healthy.
How much money does Joe Burrow get? Okay, that resets the market. Now I can go out and get whatever the hell I want.
Then you become a free agent, right? Exactly. Because you wouldn't get tagged. Or I guess you could get tagged again in that. So, because you can get tagged twice, right? So. There's that.
You can do two tags max.
Nevertheless, it's going to be an interesting, thing to see how this plays
Charles
out.
Charles said, I can see Lamar going to the Niners. I mean, yeah, after everybody's hurt.
Not going to the Niners. No, they came out 2 days ago. They said they're fully behind Brock Purdy as the leader of that
Six months after the season started.
He is the leader of that locker room.
I still want to make sure we understand this topic was about trades, which means the current contract is still under control of the Baltimore Ravens.
Yes.
So it's going to come down to the highest team available. So if the Colts are the team to come after him, which was your point, that's the team they're going to go with. Fourth overall pick. Absolutely. I would absolutely take that if I was
Ravens. But if Jim Irsay is just going to sit on his ass and say, no, I'm not paying for that bullshit, then you might see another team that pops up.
You would see it.
All right. Well, I guess, I guess we somewhat all agree on that, but also disagree in some ways. So there's the other two guys I want to talk about. I know we always talk about Rodgers, it seems like, but is this going to happen before the draft or is it going to be during the draft? Because it's going to have to happen one way or the other. I think everyone involved knows it's happening. I think there's like very tiny things that have to get done still. Right now the Jets are kind of backed up against the wall.
They are.
They're the team that is begging. They're the team that is working with a bottom five quarterback, and Zach Wilson right now is their number one starter. They need to have a team with all this talent that they've accumulated now over the past couple of years on offense to have someone out there that can make them or get them at least potentially to face a team like the Bills, Bengals, and Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. So, I mean, they have to make it happen. So at this point, the Packers are like, hand over those picks. Let's go.
It's so funny to me because when this saga first started, you listen to the mainstream media and they're like, oh my gosh, well, the Packers, they got to get rid of them fast because they don't have any fucking leverage. And I knew the moment that I heard that, like 2 or 3 weekends, I'm like, what the hell are you talking? Are you stupid? That's why I don't know why I listen to these people on the radio. I was like, the Packers have all of the leverage, and that's the way it's panning out right now.
Yeah.
They have all the leverage because they could trade him anywhere. They can keep him. They don't care. They're probably going to tank next year anyway. They could have Aaron Rodgers at training camp. Right. They don't give a shit.
They're already set on love starting.
Give me a first-round pick.
Retires.
To me, the baseline right now is 2 second-round picks. That's the baseline, but I think the Packers are going to go for more.
The Packers know this coming year they're not going to be good. They're fully aware of that.
They suck.
They're fully aware that they're going to suck for a 1 year. Could be 2. I don't know, but Tanner, we don't know. Hey, if things fall right, it could be 1 year.
Jordan Love's your quarterback for multiple years.
I'm just saying when you are sitting there in a state of mind where you kind of shrug your shoulders and go, you know, I don't really care what happens. You know, I know we're not going to be good. So basically give me everything you got. You know, that's the way they're acting. Cause here's the thing. They hold the key to everything. They could also sit there and go, you're not giving us what we like. So now we're not going to do the deal. We're going to suck one way or the other. So either way, we're going to suck. So basically you're lost. We can do whatever we want.
To me, it's a first.
He plays, if he retires, he retires.
Yeah. To me, it's a first round pick. I mean, if the Packers don't get a first round pick then I just think they're going to sit on him.
Look at the roster.
And
they can live without a first round pick.
At that point, he's up for the highest bidder. There's other teams that might go after him.
But there's the big hangup
a year from now.
Scott has this out here too. The hang up that is there's a trade the Jets want to turn that third rounder into a fifth or sixth if Rodgers retires. There's a talk about performance. So like they would get a better pick if they go to the playoffs or something like that. And there's also talk about basically having a backup plan in case he does retire after 1 year. And then Charles actually out here says, I'm a Lions fan. All the talk is Rodgers is traded will be after June 1st due to the money. So it could be, a money That's situation fine. Too.
I'm just saying that, like, for me,
Packers want Sauce and two first. It was, what, Charles?
No.
Get
no.
out of
That's
here.
That's not going to happen. I'm just saying, like, to me, like nah. I said, the baseline is 2 seconds. I'm going for a first and a second. And if I don't get that, then I'm just sitting.
I'd be happy
it.
With a third round because you're already willing to move the guys. So.
I want a first and a second, and then everything else.
I think it should be more in the like a third round is I think fine for me in that, and it doesn't like I think the Packers are trying to avoid that. What if they go to the playoffs? What if they don't go to the playoffs? What if the guy retires? Something like, in that matter.
It was funny to hear It was funny to hear Robert Saleh, coach of the Jets, say the other day that Zach Wilson he has not sniffed. His ceiling yet. Is that a part of the bargaining process or what the hell is he talking about?
He's trying to sniff moms. Okay.
He's sniffing something. He's sniffing a lot of different things. Sniff,
so
I'm not sure that he's going to sniff his ceiling.
He's not going to sniff wins. So
yeah, I think Zach Wilson moves with the Rodgers trade.
I think he goes somewhere.
I don't know.
Nobody's going to want Zach Wilson.
Somebody's going to take it for a seventh. Somebody's going to take it for a seventh.
Nobody's interested in what Zach Wilson brings.
I'm just saying, I think Wilson goes somewhere else. In the trade.
Well, Wilson himself said that whoever comes in there that's a veteran, he's going to make his life hell. Well, I guarantee you, Aaron Rodgers, who's one of the biggest buttholes in the entire NFL, is going to make it a lot worse for you, kid.
He just dealt with Brett Favre before he had to go up on. Like, you really think that you're going to do anything? Good luck, dude.
Right. Yeah, I would not test that water if I was Zach Wilson.
Yeah, Scott says the Jets do have a backup plan if they don't get Rodgers, which means they'll return. Oh, he says they'll turn their attention to Matt Stafford.
Yeah, we'll just pass Stafford around, you know.
That's not interesting. He is so washed. He is so incredibly washed. It's not even funny, man.
He's not healthy.
His arm's a little messed up. The day that he won the Super Bowl,
it was the best day of his life. So, he's washed.
So we're talking about draft day trades. Why not Tennessee making a splash somewhere to try to get moved up to maybe get a quarterback as well? A Ryan Tannehill trade could come into play. He's a free agent next year. You could also take a look here at, selling teams currently that are trying to free up cap space quicker than normal. Well, Buda Baker.
Well, here's the thing. If
Cam Jordan. Tanner,
I have to ask
Mike
you,
Evans.
If there's any truth to the fact that they were interested in trading away Derrick Henry, that means they're wanting to rebuild and restart.
Correct.
Everything. And so
why not move Tannehill?
Sure. I mean, if they're actually serious about wanting to trade Derrick Henry during this offseason, as some of the rumors we heard, then that tells me they should be open to trading anyone. I mean, that team runs through Derrick Henry. And if you want to get rid of Derrick Henry, you might as well. Literally everyone's on the market at that point. So if you're the Titans in that case, you might as well just say, hey, free for all. Your best offers. Because there was a team. What team was that? Just a couple of years ago. I felt like everyone was up for sale getting traded away. I can't remember who it was right now. But it was literally 2 years ago. And everyone was just getting traded away from them. I can't remember who it was right now, but
I know what you're talking about.
The Seahawks were doing this.
Well, Tanner, dude,
I think it was the Seahawks. Maybe they were the ones doing
Russell.
It seemed like it was a fire sale, but
Bobby Wagner was gone.
Yeah, Wagner. There was a couple others too on the defense, but
here's the thing about Tennessee Titans. If you've got Derrick Henry with that many miles on his legs anyway, and Ryan Tannehill's your fucking quarterback, why wouldn't you start over? Why wouldn't you refresh?
Did you see Malik Willis? That wasn't promising.
It's pretty rough sledding with Malik Willis.
Vrabel has his work cut out for him.
The team sucks.
There's a reason that Malik Willis fell to Scott. The third round, and it was pretty evident last year. It was not a good first showing for Willis.
Scott said his take is the Titans trade Derrick Henry on draft day. To the Miami freaking Dolphins. Okay, desperation.
So you're going to have. They don't have any draft capital, which they wouldn't have to give up.
They're going to give up everything. So they just load up the rest of the picks.
We're going to make an all Madden team with Tyreek and
Waddle.
And then we're just going to have this quarterback, Tua, who's just average.
He's just going to get hurt.
Yep. Good gosh, man. Yeah, that's pathetic.
I don't know about all dude, that
you'd
stuff.
Be, Derrick Henry would be in the Wildcat at that point when your fucking quarterback gets a fucking concussion every other game. Run the Wildcat with Derrick Henry.
You could have him suddenly just do a little quick pop screen to Tyreek.
You could alternate. You could do the Wildcat with Derrick Henry, then sometimes with Tyreek Hill. I mean, that'd be your whole offense.
It might be fun to watch, actually. I don't know.
I mean, Tua's going to retire.
Someone's got to throw the ball, though.
If that shit happens again this year, he's going to retire.
I've seen Tyreek Hill throw a ball. It's not pretty. So.
If he gets one more concussion, the dude's going to call it quits. I'm telling you that right now.
He should.
Yeah, maybe.
That's unhealthy.
He should have done it last year.
Yeah. That's unhealthy, man.
Now you mentioned a few other guys, Tanner. Talk about Evans for a minute. Obviously, Hopkins is right now the big name that's clearly open. But here's the thing. They're going to want an early pick because if you look at their roster right now over there in Arizona – and I did not ignore that question, Charles, by the way, about Anderson. But if you look at Marquise Brown, Rondale Moore, right now sitting at the top of their depth chart, you have a couple guys right there with an injury history right there off the bat. You got to have a guy that would be in there right away to take place of Hopkins that is at least going to be somewhat reliable from a health perspective. So I think that's one of the things right now the Cardinals are dealing with is that we don't want to deal with this contract. Meanwhile, we also don't want to deal with the fact that our offense is going to be very depleted without a guy like Hopkins. So I'm sure right now it's a frustrating situation if you're the Cardinals. But
you don't get Murray back till at least week 10 either.
The name of the business. You know, it's going to be basically a sell-off year if you're the Cardinals. I mean, you have to go into the season expectations of that you're going to win, you know, six games.
Yeah.
And be okay with that.
They should trade away Kyler Murray, man. They should trade him.
Why? They just signed him. It's like a Derek Carr situation all over. You sign this guy to a monster extension and then you cut him or trade him.
I would trade him. They're not going to win shit over there, man.
Well, no. Most quarterbacks won't.
They're not going to win shit. They might as well just trade him away.
Why?
Because Kyler is
what are they going to get?
Kyler is like a fringe. I call him a fringe elite quarterback, right? You got your elite quarterbacks. You got your mediocre quarterbacks. You got your good quarterbacks. Kyler is like one of those fringe guys where you don't really know what it is. You think he might be elite, but he's really not.
His problem is maturity. And it's one of those things that holds back a lot of quarterbacks who get to the NFL is that they have that maturity factor that they're not capable of accepting coaching, capable of accepting what losing feels like. And Kyler's situation, he's got that little man syndrome, I feel like, truly.
Yeah.
Where he has this like chip on his shoulder that is unnecessary in a way where it's like, dude, just get out there, be humble and play ball. Because we saw Kyler Murray from year one to year two with a big improvement. I thought the guy was on the rise. And it's like suddenly now when we've seen him play, it's like the guy's taking a step back. And I think that has to do with his mentality. Yeah. I'm sure he's always hurt, but his mentality is not what quarterbacks need to be at the NFL. And we can speak with the best of them because we have one that has literally everything you ever want in a quarterback's brain right here in Kansas City. So we know what it looks like. We know what you should look like as a elite quarterback.
He retired. Chad Henne. What are you talking about?
Oh, Chad?
Alex Smith.
Alex Smith retired too.
That's what I'm talking about. Alex Smith.
No, I feel so sorry for all of these NFC quarterbacks because when they look on the other side and they look at all these elite AFC quarterbacks and then they look in the mirror every single night, I just feel sorry for them, man, because those NFC quarterbacks are so shitty, man. Like you don't know how bad they are. So I just feel sorry for those guys like Kyler. I mean, really, like the only guy I don't feel sorry for is Jalen Hurts. Because he actually made it to a fucking Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And he's an up and comer. But everybody else is just like, it's kind of like, wow, we got some trash quarterbacks over in the NFC.
So Scott's got a good question here. How about Chris Godwin to the Patriots on draft night?
Yeah, it's a really good fit, without a doubt. Because I think that though you're in a situation where if you're the Buccaneers, you got to be honest with yourself too. Where your state of your team is at with Baker Mayfield currently being your QB1. Chris Godwin has also had a bit of an injury history in his past.
Yeah.
But I think sounds like to me, maybe Godwin, maybe even Evans are both potentially open for a trade if the right offer comes. But Godwin would be the ideal fit for the way New England runs their offense. And I don't know that I believe in Mac Jones or necessarily what they got going on over there.
Let's stick with the Patriots. Let's stick with the Patriots just for another couple of moments here. There are some word out there that the Patriots should go after Lamar Jackson. Actually, I think that
they already shot it down.
No, it was put with Robert Kraft.
Yeah.
And all Robert Kraft said was, yeah, I leave those decisions to Bill Belichick. However, we need to win some fucking games over here. Like, he didn't drop an F-bomb. But I'm just saying, like, you think that's a possibility? Could they get Lamar Jackson?
Bill already denied it. He already said, we're not doing that.
Yeah. Tanner, do you trust Bill the same way you trust Brady's every word? Because it sounds to me like
trust Bill's
word. When both Tom or Bill say things, you believe every, breath that they make. The truth is, they lie a lot.
You think Bill's doing it?
Let me tell you this.
Are you telling me that Bill Belichick is going to trade for Lamar Jackson?
They have things to hide, is all
He's
I'm saying.
He's going to tell Robert Kraft.
Both of them do.
Pay this guy a guaranteed salary. And
all
we'll,
I'm saying,
we'll
if you are Bill Belichick, you're not going to tell somebody, yes, I want Lamar Jackson. You are going to put out a smoke screen and say no.
Do you know how he is with quarterbacks? Tom Brady was with him forever. He drafted Mac Jones, and he wants to stick with Mac Jones.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
No, he's frustrated.
Tom Brady's a fucking unicorn, dude.
It's his guy, and he wants to get Mac Jones.
He wants his guy to play better. He's frustrated.
Well, now they have an offensive coordinator.
Here's the thing.
Your OC
here's what you're confused
was...
about. Tanner, just because you draft a guy does not mean he's your guy forever. He's your guy for that moment. He's your guy for that game. You can also get frustrated and say, you're no longer my guy. You know,
he's
it's
your
like, a
guy.
Like a whore on the streets.
He's
you
your
can,
guy.
You can move along real fast.
Bill did this
let
to
me tell
himself.
You, let me tell you why it's his guy. It's your guy because you used to work with Nick Saban. And Nick Saban told you, oh, yeah, he's a good motherfucker. And then it's not working out. So
Bill
guess what?
Did
it's
this
time
to
move
himself.
On.
Move on!
Bill did this to himself.
You're my guy till you fuck up.
He did this to himself with the coaching staff. Now he fixed it. It should be better.
You know what? He can still be your guy, but bring in Lamar Jackson first.
Why?
And then Mac Jones can, be kind of like the understudy. Let Mac Jones be the understudy.
Why?
Because he sucks. He needs to sit on the bench.
Lamar's going to take that team? Now you just wasted a bunch of payroll, and now you can't pay to get your defense back.
Whatever, man. Whatever. They're not going to win shit with Mac Jones. You know that's not going to happen.
I'd still rather stick with Mac Jones.
You would rather stick with Mac Jones.
I don't want to pay Lamar.
Look, and I will say, we could say Bill is telling the truth about the Lamar thing. I think that could be true.
It could.
I also will not sit there and be so naive to the fact that these guys are also bullshitters all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is me telling you.
You always say, well, Bill said, I don't care what Bill said.
You can tell the way that he answers stuff. It's not going to freaking happen.
Yeah. Dude. Well,
I mean, New England, Lamar will never be a Patriot. That's correct, Scott. Scott, I know you have to go. I appreciate you hopping on and everything, man.
I will answer from Charles from a little bit ago. He asked about Anderson, if he would go number two to the Texans in the draft. And I do think Will Anderson will be the first skill possession player off the board.
Yes.
So without a doubt. And if that means the Texans feel that way.
I could see that, man. I really could.
I could see it happen. They don't necessarily, if they don't love a quarterback this year, they don't need to take a quarterback. I mean, you could look at Bryce Young and say there's things you don't like about him. Look at the rest of the guys that are left on the table after the first pick's gone. I could absolutely see that happening. But I think no matter what, the first skill position player off the board is going to be Will Anderson. He is essentially going to be your next Von Miller. That is the plan. So that's not a bad pick. I mean, we all saw Von Miller's career, and it was amazing. So, I mean, congrats to whoever ends up with Will Anderson, because that's the expectation of him right now. All right, guys, I have a quick little game I want to play with you guys now that we're done bantering about the trades. this doesn't be anything elaborate by any means, but everyone there listening along can play along too. So we have some new faces and new places so far through free agency, and I have a few interesting ones that I've kind of picked up on that I find to be fascinating for potential fantasy future.
Okay.
Those of you out there that are in the fantasy football, which is pretty much all of us. I got five different teams now with different situations than what they left with. So I'm going to say this player, that player, who is now the number one on that roster between the two of the same position.
Okay.
So we're going to start off Buffalo Bills. We have James Cook or Damian Harris. Who is now the number one running back on that team?
I'm going Damian Harris.
Harris?
I'm going Harris.
What about Harris? Do you like more than Cook at this point,
though? A little bigger body, a guy that's more of a red zone threat, and he showed that he could carry the team when he didn't get hurt over last year. But he's done 2 years in a row of solid stuff for New England there. He can be an every down back. So that's why I like Harris. I think it's a bigger body, kind of matches the play of Buffalo Bills.
What do you got, man?
I'm kind of on the fence on this one. I think that Damian Harris had a great yards per carry last year, but I like James Cook's upside, and I think James Cook has the potential to do a little bit more in the receiving game. And so I'll take a stab at it. I'll go with James Cook will have a better season than Damian Harris.
Charles Harris.
That's a good way to put it. And I will say right now, so the season's going to start off. This is going to remind me a lot of you Chiefs fans listening of Thomas Jones and Jamaal Charles.
Yeah.
I foresee this happening during the season where, you know, we get force-fed Thomas Jones in the beginning, which is going to be Damian Harris, and he might lead the team in carries. But we also know the explosiveness of what Jamaal Charles could provide to the team. And there's going to be a lot of fans out there clamoring for more James Cook as long as he can hold on to the ball. Obviously, fumbles have been an issue in the past, much like Jamaal Charles. But I think that we're going to see kind of quite a tandem of what they consider to be their reliable running back and Damian Harris, and who's going to be the more explosive upside back of James Cook. So it's a tough call because back in the day, it was Thomas Jones who was technically the RB1
correct
on the Chiefs. But Jamaal Charles was definitely the one that produced better. So I think maybe we could all be right on this topic. Maybe. You know,
oh, yeah. I don't think this is a wrong answer. So,
well, some of these there could be a wrong answer because we got one right here. So how about a Houston Texans Damian Pierce or Devin Singletary now in the backfield for the Texans?
That's fair now. Okay, I'm going Pierce.
Damian Pierce.
I think there's bigger upside. He showed off what he can do last year. I think Pierce.
Singletary's been playing going on 4 years.
He's more of a your receiving kind of style back, the guy that doesn't play every down. Pierce is a guy that showed he could play every down and be a red zone threat.
Yeah, I like Damian Pierce. He averaged 4.3 yards per carry last year, and that basically was his rookie year. So I think he's an up and comer. I think he's just going to get better. Whereas we know what Devin Singletary is, which is just, I don't want to call him a jag, but you know, in that Buffalo Bills offense, that potentially could have made him look better than he actually is. So I'll go with Damian Pierce.
Yeah. This is one where I'm not honestly a big fan of either one of these guys personally, but I think I'll take the better of the two, which to me is Damian Pierce. I think Devin Singletary, kind of, we've seen everything he is and was in the NFL.
Charles agrees.
And we'll see a slow decline of Devin Singletary as his career just kind of dwindles away. And not to be mean about it, but I mean, he's honestly just a guy and always has been just a guy. Correct. At the running back position. Correct. So I'll give Pierce the edge on that one. I got one that's more fun coming up right here. Jacksonville Jaguars, Calvin Ridley or Christian Kirk? Number one, who's going to be the number one receiver between those two?
Who's going to be the number
one? Who's going to be the number WR1 between Kirk and Ridley?
I think, okay, like depth chart. We're not talking like who's going to be the overall after the season.
Who's going to have better production?
Okay, Calvin Ridley.
Ridley, okay.
Ridley.
Surprised you said that. Ridley,
that's why I had to make it clear. Like if we were talking about like start of the season.
Just production. Who's going to have better production?
Ridley will be your guy over Kirk.
Okay. All right. What do you think?
I will go with Calvin Ridley. Just a little bit better athlete there. And I know a lot of people would point out the fact that, well, you know, Trevor Lawrence, he's already got good chemistry with Christian Kirk. That's fine. But Calvin Ridley, to me, is a better player. And I think that Ridley will be the WR1.
There's a different level.
It's just the fact that this guy has a lot to prove, right? Because he's got people talking shit on him. I listen to it every fucking day. They're talking shit on this guy because, oh my gosh, you're like, you gambled on your own fucking team. And like, he's got to keep his act clean. Okay. So he's got to, you know, just make sure that he stays on the straight and narrow. But if he does that, he's the better athlete and he will be the WR1 in Jacksonville.
So my main question is going to be with this one is, how much does he care about football still?
Charles,
because clearly Calvin Ridley actually had a problem with enjoying the sport. once he got to the NFL. Now, if I played for the Falcons, I'd probably feel the same way. But, I, you know, it's one of those things where Ridley, yes, he went and, you know, was caught gambling, whatever, which I don't care at all about. But I was more, I'm more concerned with the fact that he lost a lot of love for the sport before he was caught. And he, I think that that kind of put him in this spot where he didn't really care about the outcome of if he was caught, you know, gambling and what the what that could mean for the future of him.
You got to remember, this team wasn't winning, though. This Falcons team wasn't a contender at all.
I know. I know. And that's what I mean. They've not been good for quite a while now. I'm mainly concerned about where his motivation's at. And I don't know that. I can't answer that question. I don't know him. I have not spoken to him. I think a lot of people are curious of that same thing. But they did make a trade to get him onto the team, onto a good roster, with a good coach, with a good quarterback. Does that not motivate you if you're sitting there and you're Calvin Ridley to want to get revive your career?
I don't think you tweet during the season of a season you sit out of a new team you just got acquired on if you weren't excited to try to get back out there. I think the involvement that he did on social media kind of showed like, hey, I'm ready.
I hope that's the truth, because I did enjoy early Calvin Ridley. I enjoyed him in Alabama. I enjoyed that first year where he was catching way more touchdowns than he probably should have. But I'm going to give my nod to Christian Kirk, just because I think he's been a guy who's been consistent throughout his career so far. You know what to expect. And he's just a pure football player. And so I'm going to give my nod to Christian Kirk on this one, even though I debated myself in my own head about it too, because yeah, I understand the upside ability. I think Ridley has more deep threat ability. I think he's got more ability in that fashion.
I will throw this out there. You know, I've said this before on the show. We all make mistakes in life, but the question is, who is going to learn from their mistakes and who is not? And if I'm a guy like Calvin Ridley, I'm looking at a guy like the great Pete Rose, who made a mistake with gambling and got expelled from his sport. And if I'm a guy like Calvin Ridley, I'm looking in that. I'm saying, okay, do I want to ruin my career? You know, like a guy like Pete Rose, who, you know, basically ruined himself as a manager and a commentator and got expelled from the sport. Or do I want to change the course of my life? And that's what I'm hoping that he'll do, because when you have the talent of a Calvin Ridley, you don't need to gamble, dude. Gambling doesn't matter. Who cares? Like, you're an elite athlete in the NFL. So I'm truly hoping that he will right the ship here and learn from that mistake that he had. And that's why I'm betting on Calvin Ridley in this discussion.
All right, I got two more for you guys. The Lions going over there, Amon-Ra St. Brown or Jameson Williams. Yes, I know Williams played
the last half of the
season, very little bit at the end of the season, but it still essentially is a new receiver. Who's going to have better production this year?
I'm going Jameson Williams. I think there's more upside. I think we kind of saw it last year a little bit there too. And you're going to kind of see Amon-Ra St. Brown kind of take a back seat to the guy they went out and got while he was hurt. So I'm going Jameson Williams in this.
I'm going to go with Amon-Ra St. Brown here. He's a guy that Jared Goff can trust. He's very comfortable with him. He's got chemistry there. Jameson Williams, although he is well over a year removed from that torn ACL, you don't really know what to expect from him. I kind of think of this as his rookie year. And so I'm going to go with St. Brown just because, like, it's more of a safe bet in this discussion.
Charles says he's a Lions fan. That ain't the two players I thought you would mention. Who would be two players, Charles, that you would mention in this kind of discussion?
Yeah, Barry Sanders?
No.
Calvin Johnson?
No, let's have him bring up his couple guys.
Who would you have?
I got Jameson Williams because I love the upside of Jameson Williams.
I think that
Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to be a guy that's, you know, going to get a lot of receptions, of course. That's kind of what he's good at, underneath type stuff.
He's your slot guy.
But Jameson Williams is going to be your big play, reliable, hopefully, down the field threat and all that kind of stuff. So I'll take production-wise, I'll take Jameson Williams.
It's kind of a 50-50 thing. I mean, you know, like I'll –
because – I'm assuming Charles thought I was going to talk about DeAndre Swift's situation in the backfield, but I don't know. You just got to tell me on that one. So.
I don't think there is a situation over there.
They just signed Marvin Jones back too.
That doesn't mean anything.
So, that didn't mean shit.
Marvin Jones.
So Montgomery behind a top three O-line and Jamal.
I'm not too worried. DeAndre I don't care Swift. About him.
So you're talking, yeah, you're talking about that.
I don't care about Montgomery.
I think Montgomery takes that job, though.
No, no, fuck no.
Over Swift?
I mean, they're both. No.
I think Montgomery.
Both of those guys.
No, Swift is better than Montgomery.
Both of those guys could be injured bums by like week four.
Here's what's funny about what Charles is bringing up here, because he and I talked about this like 3 hours ago. I was kind of giving him a rundown of some ideas, and I was like, oh, there's Swift and Montgomery, but I think that's, in our opinions, I think we both agreed the exact same thing, is that DeAndre Swift is the better player.
Yeah, but they're also, but both of them are injured bums. So, but you have to go with DeAndre Swift.
Why? Because Swift missed a lot more games last year than Montgomery.
That's fine. I'm just saying, if they're both healthy. I'm going
Montgomery because he's going to be on the field
more. If they are both healthy, which we all know that shit's not going to happen, then it's DeAndre Swift is the better player.
Who's the backup to those two? That's what we got to find out.
I mean, that might be a true split, a true 50-50 split.
It could. It really could be.
But I'll absolutely take Swift. Okay. In that situation.
Who's your final?
Last one. One last question for you guys that I had written down was the Buccaneer situation in the backfield between Chase Edmonds and Rashad White. Obviously, Ooh. Edmonds being a veteran running back at this point, Rashad White has 1 year in the league. And it's the Buccaneers. I mean, who knows, and maybe who cares what they're going to do. But I'm curious to see what your thought is.
Jason, go ahead and go first.
It's kind of a 50-50 thing for me. I will go with Chase Edmonds. And they both had the same yards per carry last year. Essentially, it was pretty close. Rashad White had a ton of receptions, but that was with fucking Tom Brady, so that doesn't mean anything. So I'm gonna go with Chase Edmonds just because he's more of a veteran who's been around. And you know, who the hell knows who they're gonna throw in there at quarterback? I mean, yeah, sure, Baker Mayfield or whatever the fuck, but. You know, I'm going to go with Chase Edmonds just because he's kind of got more experience. So
I think I'm leaning towards Rashad White being the guy. Buccaneers kind of showed some faith in him with Todd Bowles there. Really showed some faith in him last year on almost overtaking Fournette on the last half of the season in carries. I definitely lean more White just because Chase Edmonds, after he left Arizona and everything else, and he really wasn't relevant that second half of the season.
I think Edmonds is purely a receiving back.
Yeah, I think he's going to be more of your passing plays kind of guy.
I don't like him very much just out of the backfield in general.
Yeah. I think White has a little more upside. There's
for good reason why the Dolphins are totally cool with letting him go.
Yeah.
I think Rashad White is someone that they put a lot of investment into in the draft, obviously, and that they would like to get more carries out of as the year goes on this year. So I think I'll lean more towards Rashad White as getting the bulk of the production for that team. I'm with you there. And yeah, I hear what Charles is saying about Montgomery as far as, you know, the broken tackles factor and the O-line situation, of course. But I don't know, man. Maybe I just prefer the style of DeAndre Swift more than David Montgomery.
It's very true.
And I feel like that's just kind of where I sit with those. And I watched a lot of David Montgomery at Iowa State. And I had him on my college fantasy team. I had David Montgomery on that team a few years ago, but you guys are laughing.
He sucks.
You guys are laughing, but I don't know. I think I like DeAndre Swift a little more. I think that they need to find a way, maybe they're in the Lions, to use him more similarly of the style, the way he was used at Georgia.
Yeah.
I think they use him in a way that maybe is not his best style of production to be used for him from, but I think he's got the talent to make it happen and do a little better, I suppose.
Yeah, it works.
All right, Tanner. I just saw the Suns. They're rolling. It's halftime. They're down by three.
Yep.
I believe KD is playing.
KD's in 16 minutes in, 4 rebounds, 1 steal, 9 points.
Nothing crazy.
Right, sorry, wrong one. 13 minutes in. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 points.
That's it for KD?
That's it for KD.
They must be easing him in that case.
Your leader in minutes is Chris Paul with 17 and Booker with 16.
Yeah, they must be easing him in, but only down by 3, so I guess we'll see what happens. But did you guys have any other sports topics today?
I did.
What do you got?
I don't know if you guys saw that the owners meeting happened this last couple days here. And there was some rules changes. And do you guys care about jersey numbers at all?
I don't care. Do, but that's a player's thing.
So zero is now eligible.
I know. And I don't care about it.
Some things I thought were interesting, though, amount of referees and the rules that the refs have to imply. So the referees get to adjust the play clock now following an instant replay reversal. So they actually get to request more time on the play clock. So that way teams aren't rushing back if it's challenged. Like, so if you're challenged, remember, so it was challenged sometimes with like 10 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
And then nobody would know that that's where you left off mm-hmm. after that challenge. So they get to put more play clock time back into those situations. So it's not running the line at 10 seconds after it's been reversed or whatever.
Right, which a lot of times you see that all the time during games where the offense is standing there after something's been called and saying, hey, reset the play clock. You know, they're making the signal for reset the play clock.
And basically
that's them going, hey, how you expect us to just all of a sudden have time to just get up there and snap immediately?
Because it happened to the Chiefs once.
Sure, I mean, it happens every week. I
think Bills and Bengals got hit with it too. So that was nice.
Basically, they're fixing a situation that they run into a lot of issues with the play clock running too far down. And it should be a situation where the play clock's reset to get everyone equal opportunity to set defensively and offensively. So that's actually a good rule.
So here, next one here, the replay official can automatically review a close play on a failed fourth down attempt. This will save a team's challenge if it's a close call on a fourth down. So that's another theme where it's another reviewable play that wasn't reviewable in the past.
Basically, close fourth downs are just reviewable now?
Yes.
I don't know. I think
close, yeah.
I think that still needs to come down to your challenge if it's that far off. I mean, I know we're going to get the call right on the field. I get that.
I think that's what they're doing. They're trying to make the call right. Right.
Yeah.
Because that's all we complain about.
I mean, we've got a lot of dumbass refs in the NFL. So whatever helps them feel special, get things correct the first time is what I'm for. I suppose.
Real quick, before I hit the next two here, Charles did chime in. The one I wish they would have changed was challenging the ref for the passing call. Lions brought that up. Yeah. I wish I think we all believe that.
Yeah. So. Absolutely.
Just challenge everything.
It's getting worse and worse. And this past season was rough. I mean, That Tom Brady play with the D tackle literally grabbed him by the hips, took him to the ground. It was nothing egregious by any means. Obviously, then we have stupid situations like here in Kansas City with Chris Jones say a bad word to Matt Ryan that Matt Ryan gave no shits about. We still will never know what Chris Jones said to Matt Ryan.
What hurt the refs, but
yeah, the referee got offended, so we had to throw a flag. And then we had other ones. Oh, of course, the sack against the Raiders.
Yeah,
that one for the Chiefs. That was one of the worst plays that I've seen in a long time. I can't say the worst because we've actually seen worse here.
We can even go back to, what would that be, 17-18 when Chris Jones touched Brady's shoulder?
Yeah, a little left tap on the shoulder trying to swat the ball down, and that was pass interference. And I'm sure, Charles, you probably have many of Lions memories, of stuff like that. So I think that's one is the universal fan bases around the entire league are kind of sick and tired of that kind of stuff happening. And those calls need to be reviewed. Yeah, there goes Dave's talking about the one we just talked about with Chris Jones giving him a little left tap on the shoulder. And so, it's like, you know, the thing is, it's the calls that create outcomes of games.
Yeah,
the calls that really are so subjective and also happen within the last couple minutes of a game that they're most frustrating. Because think about it, all the ones that we just brought up were so memorable because they affected outcomes of games. And yes, the Chiefs ended up winning that Raiders game, you know, where Chris Jones was called.
Yeah.
But it was still an awful call. But the other ones where we're talking about Chris Jones saying a word to Matt Ryan, Chiefs lost that game. And then, of course, the playoff game where Chris Jones touched Brady a little bit with his pinky. That one, of course, affected the outcome. So those are the things that I don't want to see. Those are the things I don't want to see in the sport at all. It's just making super ticky-tack subjective calls in big moments. And then the referees are never held accountable either. And we've had talks about that probably a dozen times on this show, you guys.
Not enough.
Enough, but you know, it's good because to do it 3 to 4 times a year.
They never got held accountable, so we need to talk about it more.
Right. We need to continue to do it as time goes on. But we'll end up getting there again because I'm sure something's going to happen in the next year that – it's going to get us pissed off again and go on a 30-minute rant. And, you know, Jason, you and I might – are we still maybe going to go to something this offseason that's up in Topeka?
It's up in the air, man. I think they're afraid of us.
Okay. Yeah. If we're not allowed back for asking questions.
Referees, they get scared if they know that Mike and JG are going to be in the house.
If you ask a professional referee, do you make makeup calls? I feel like maybe that's bannable offense for officiating to have you back to their club.
Let me tell you how I feel. I feel like I'm always trying to get into this meeting, and we're trying to get back to that meeting that we had a couple of years back. And yeah. I always feel like the question is always asked, is JG going to be there? Is Mike going to be there? Is NFL Mike going to be in that fucking building?
Well, they heard
that.
The
answer is yes. We're like, oh, can we reschedule that? Oh yeah. Yeah. Let's do it next year. Let's do it in 6 months from now. Right. And it's just like, okay, well, you know, at least I made my mark on the NFL.
Yeah. Maybe one day we'll get back over there and get to ask him some good questions again, but
oh man.
Yeah.
I got three more for you guys. Okay. So a launch, which is a personal foul, 15-yard penalty, is now if a player leaves one or both feet to make a tackle. So if he basically launches his body, no matter how it looks, between one and both feet.
One or both feet.
Both feet to make a tackle.
You're telling me if one of his feet leave the ground to make a tackle.
They're calling it a launch. Here's another one for you. If a player is called for tripping, the penalty will result in a 15 yards and an automatic first down.
Oh, so Tom Brady be getting penalized a lot. He was good at tripping.
Yep.
Well, they waited. They waited until he was out of the league, so he couldn't get penalized. Right.
I just thought it was kind of interesting on that.
I guess that one I don't care about as much.
But that could be such a minor thing, like a guy, sure. Actually, you know, a leg sticks out when he's trying to get up or something and trips a guy. So.
No, I agree. But the last one you said before that, though, I mean,
it's a weird one, right?
I can't.
All right, I want to know your guys' thoughts here. I think it kind of ruins the preseason in a way as fans, but the whole 90 players on the roster until the very last week.
Yeah, until cut down day.
So
it used to be a cut down of 90 to 75, and then from 75 down to 53. And now we're just going straight from 90 to 53, which I think part of the reason why they're doing this, because we have three preseason games now instead of four.
Correct.
Basically, it allows all the teams to have full looks at everyone on their roster up until that last day. So this was only put into place because of the loss of that fourth game, because that fourth game was always used after that cut down day
for the prove it stuff.
So yeah. now it's like, well, okay, we'll just have a full 90 man roster until, which I mean, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. Cause it used to be those guys that would get cut. Those 15 guys would be cut from 90 to 75. Were just most of the time, very irrelevant and unsurprising. So it's not like we're missing out on much.
I guess maybe this answered up, you know, anticipates it even more, like the surprises could be different. You know, we may not know exactly.
This one doesn't bother me too much. I just feel like it's one of those things where it allows the guys who are on the back end of the roster to still have one more game to make a name for themselves, maybe an extra week to make a name for themselves. And yeah, I don't think as fans we're missing out on anything really, because of it. I think it's a fair thing to have in place.
I'm willing to see it through. So
yeah, no problem for me on that one. I guess it's really, I just have a problem primarily with the 1 foot. Both feet launching. Yeah, I guess I could, as long as it's with the helmet,
yep,
in front. But having the idea of having 1 foot off the ground, if that's what you're describing to me, while you're making a tackle, that's going to be a problem. That's going to create some of those stupid ass penalties we see from roughing the passer that are now going to be happening on the rest of the field.
Yeah.
So can't wait for that. Yeah. So anyways, that's my thoughts.
All right, guys, shifting over to the NBA. We had a game tonight, the Philadelphia 76ers versus the Dallas Mavericks. And Sixers won 116 to 108. But I wanted to point out these two teams because these two teams are going on two different trajectories. So the 76ers vying for, you know, being one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. I feel like the Mavericks are on the downtrend right now, not because they lost this game,
you feel,
but because they picked up Kyrie Irving You know, they did the deal for Kyrie Irving, and they thought that that was going to be their saving grace, and that was going to get them over the hump, because the Mavericks made it to the Western Conference Finals last year. And so what do we need to do? Let's just add Kyrie Irving, and that'll probably take us to the championship. The only problem is that they didn't think about the fact that you've got Kyrie and Luka Doncic now. You cannot hide two shitty-ass defenders on the same team. The Golden State Warriors, they've been able to do that throughout their dynasty with Steph Curry. You can hide one shitty defender on your team. You cannot hide two. Kyrie Irving, Luka Doncic, they are both very shitty defenders. They're out of the play-in right now, guys. And I don't know what Correct. You guys think about that right now, but to me, I don't really care if they make the play-in. This is kind of like when you brought in Kyrie, yeah, you're going to score more points. Now, they didn't do too much tonight. Kyrie Irving had 23. Luka Doncic had 24. Why do you think that is? It's because of what Tanner and I have been talking about this whole time. In the Eastern Conference, they play defense. In the Western Conference, not so much. And so that's kind of a low point total that you would be expecting from Kyrie Irving, Luka Doncic. And they lost the game. Western Conference, I mean, nobody plays defense, especially on the Dallas Mavericks. Nobody plays defense. And so I just want to know you guys' thoughts on the Dallas Mavericks, because I think they're done. Like, they are officially cooked. I do not care if they make the play-in. I don't even care if they make it to the sixth seed. If they get lucky and make it to the sixth seed, they're getting bounced in the first round, because in the NBA, defense matters. Okay. Defense matters. And Kyrie sucks on defense. He can't stop anybody, and Luka can't stop anybody. And so, yeah, you might score 40 points this game and 35 points the next, but if you can't stop anybody, your season's over. And so I think Kyrie, unfortunately, is going to move on next year. He's not going to be on the Mavs next year.
Correct.
He'll probably go back to play with LeBron, because why wouldn't you? That's the guy that got you your first championship and your only championship. But yeah, Kyrie's done in Dallas, and it's pretty sad, because I had high hopes for the Dallas Mavericks. I thought that if they could make the Western Conference Finals last year, that should be something that they should be able to build on. But they didn't do shit, because they brought in Kyrie, who only plays on one side of the floor.
So let me be the buffoon here and just ask a question. How did this team get worse by adding Kyrie? I understand they lost Spencer Dinwiddie.
They lost Jalen Brunson.
Another one. But you're
Dorian Finney-Smith, another wing one. Guy that can depth. Play defense.
So they lost depth. So, but they in their minds, they thought by adding Kyrie, that can make up for the losses of those other three you just mentioned.
Depth.
That's the problem. So, I mean, I'm looking at, obviously, from a Suns perspective on this, is that we don't have much depth any longer. It's supposed to be about the starting five. So you're telling me the Dallas Mavericks did this a similar thing. Obviously, KD is better than Kyrie, but I mean, tell me why this is. Why did they regress? Because they were just facing the Suns in the championship, but they're in the, you know, to move on in the playoffs just recently, now to go to the finals, and now we're talking about them not even making the play-in.
It's completely different, because when I look at a guy like Devin Booker, I think of Devin Booker as a two-way player. Like, you're going to ask a lot from him on the offensive side of the floor, but he can also play defense. Meanwhile, you bring in a guy like Kyrie Irving with a guy like Luka Doncic. Well, you know, neither one of those guys are going to play defense. We know that Kevin Durant, again, you're not going to ask a lot from him on the defensive side of the floor, but he will play defense. He can block shots.
Well, Luka can
Devin
too.
Booker.
That's why they beat the Phoenix.
On the Suns, you're looking at a guy like CP3. That's the guy who they are trying to hide on defense. But I don't look at Booker and Kevin Durant as defensive liabilities. They're just not. And so the Suns are. And the other thing I got to point out here is that we're not going to compare Kevin Durant, bringing in a guy like Kevin Durant, to a guy like Kyrie Irving. Like, Kevin Durant just better. He's a better all-time player.
Yeah.
Right? He's a bigger threat on the offensive side of the floor, and he can play defense. Now, he's a little bit older, but it's just different. I mean, the Suns, when everybody's healthy, they're a bigger threat in the West. And I mean, what are you going to do? Let's just say hypothetically that we end up with a Western Conference Finals of Suns versus Mavs, which is never going to happen. But let's just say it did happen. Who do you trust more on offense? And who do you trust more on defense? It's not even a question. Like, the Suns are the answer on both sides of that equation. And so, you know, I don't know. I think with Mark Cuban on the Mavs, I think he was just hoping that he could somehow convince Kyrie Irving to sign a big contract. I mean, maybe Mark Cuban's willing to offer him the money to stay for another year, and maybe they can bring in some other pieces. But whatever his plans were for the Mavs, it's certainly not going to work this year. Nothing is going to happen this year.
You would think too, like, a Cuban wouldn't, like, if he didn't offer anything to Brunson, why would he offer it to Kyrie? I'd rather have a Brunson than Kyrie.
I mean, you've got to do something. You got to do something in the offseason and or the draft to bring in some more wings. You want to bring in 3-and-D guys.
There's a lot of stuff this team needs to do. If you've got
Kyrie Irving, Luka Doncic, that's all you're going to do. You have to bring in 3-and-D guys, guys that are going to play defense, guys that are going to get hit threes, because Luka and Kyrie are not going to play defense. And so that's that. Maybe he can figure out a way to keep Kyrie in the offseason, but I think Kyrie is gone just because he's that guy. Like, I think he's going to go.
Oh, yeah. He's
gonna
going to go elsewhere. He's not hanging out in Dallas.
Some guys are better at stock market than they are managing a basketball team, though. And so maybe that's it, Tanner. I don't know.
Oh, it's not. It's more of a overall pieces thing for Dallas. You're missing a lot of depth. You're missing a lot of, like, at least the Phoenix has some depth. Like, guys have been around, the guys that have played that can show they can do stuff.
The depth's no longer great anymore.
It's not fabulous.
I mean, there was a time where they gave it away.
It's still way better than
what they had to give away the Cam Johnsons and so on. But
still way better than what Mavs have. It's not pretty.
And by the way, the Suns are going to have an interesting series on their hands if they ever meet up with the Golden State Warriors. That's going to be fun to watch. If everybody's healthy, that's going to be fun to watch, because you got Kevin Durant going up against his old team, and Steph Curry, who presumably, if he's going to be healthy for the stretch here, that's going to be fun to watch, dude. And I feel like that's an even matchup. Should be the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, Charles has an opinion that I think we all probably agree with. Yeah, for the most part.
He thinks it's still going to be the Bucks Warriors for the championship.
That's what I said in the preseason.
Yeah.
I said it was going to be a rematch. Now we're still waiting on. I want to see
any news on Wiggins.
That's the problem. I want to see, you know, how healthy Gary Payton II is. I want to see what, you know, how long is he going to last? Andrew Wiggins is the wild card here, because I think if you've got Andrew Wiggins, go ahead and give him the trophy. But if you don't have Wiggins, I mean, it's a free for all, guys. Mm-hmm. But I do agree with you. I think that the Warriors and the Suns is kind of a pick 'em, but I would kind of side with the Warriors at this point, because they're on that championship run.
I would. And as a Suns fan, I'm terrified of the fact of what the Warriors are capable of. I understand that the Warriors' upside is higher than what the Suns are capable of. And that's what I see. And we've seen the Warriors in the postseason for a long time now. They know how to pick it up when it needs to be happening. And we know Steph Curry, I don't care how old he's getting, the guy is the best damn shooter of all time. And I think that's the thing that scares me. Devin Booker is a wonderful player. I'm wearing his jersey right now. And I love KD, of course. But, I mean, and DeAndre Ayton, you know, is a fine center. But, like, the Warriors can just do more with that team.
It's just different.
And they will outpace the Suns whenever that game comes to fruition, because it probably will happen at some point.
And they do have more depth than the Suns, and that's important.
Yeah, and that's why I think that the Warriors are the scariest, most, you know, based on the record, underrated team right now going into the postseason. So, yeah, I wouldn't want to face them. I'm hoping at some point someone else can knock them out, because If that's the case, then I feel pretty good. But otherwise, I think the Warriors beat the Suns when it comes down to the postseason play.
Yeah, Charles says, Curry says, it's Jordan Poole, your guy. Jordan Poole is the player that needs to step up at the not all the time, not just a few games. So he has to step up more often than not.
Yeah, I think with Jordan Poole, the funny thing about him is he gets better with volume. Okay, so anytime that Steph Curry gets injured, they throw Jordan Poole in there and he goes bonkers. But anytime they throw him back to the bench, he gets a lot less volume. And so, you know, you're not putting up quite as many shots, and then his volume goes down. But you look at Jordan Poole's stats in the playoffs, like, it's just a different story, man. So he's a different cat when it comes to the playoff season.
Also, there's this little thing out there that's somewhat of it passing the torch to a degree. I mean, Steph's still going to be Steph for a little while longer, but I feel like there's this transition period where you're trying to ease Poole in a little bit, but at some point it'll be the full-on Poole party out there, where that's going to be a thing where it's a full-time on the court and everyone's making plays equally. And I think eventually they'll get to that point. They're maybe not there yet, but they're getting close to that point of both of their careers where they're on equal level before Steph falls off and before Poole really jumps up.
Yeah, and I think at some point, if you're Jordan Poole, if let's just say Wiggins doesn't play at all, let's say he's gone. If you're a guy like Jordan Poole, you have no other choice. You have to step up.
You do.
Because you're the man at this point.
You have to be around.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Good conversations.
All right, guys. Well, any final thoughts? We wrap it up for the week. I love the topics today, guys. This was a lot of fun to talk some NFL crap. Get us heated for a minute. Talk about trade shit. Talk about some who's going to be the number one player shit. NBA for a minute. Baseball's tomorrow. It feels like sports is here right now. So April is going to be more fun than March was. I'll put it that way.
Yep. Yep. Get the NCAA finals this weekend. So
We didn't even talk March Madness. So not that I want to, but
do you have a favorite? Just
nah,
do you have a winner?
All my guys are out.
I love
all my guys are out too.
All I know is the tickets are cheap as shit because everybody hates all four of these fucking teams, but I love Miami. Because I've watched a couple of their games and I think they've got that grit. I mean, I think they have what it takes. I mean, I would be interesting to see what Florida Atlantic does, because I've always made the argument.
FAU.
I've always made the argument that anything more than 64 teams is stupid, because you've never had anything more than an 8 seed to win a championship in the history of the NCAA. Well, Florida Atlantic could totally disrupt or dismantle my argument there if a 9 seed can win a championship. And so, I mean, I don't think that's going to happen, but if somehow FAU could win a championship, then, you know, that'd be an amazing thing to see. It'd be the lowest seed in history to win a championship. But I'm putting my money with Miami, because I've seen those athletes and they don't seem to get rattled. You know, they were losing that game.
They were
the entire time in the Elite Eight. They were down the whole time. There, you know what? They just made the decision. You know what? We don't give a fuck. We're just going to go ahead and win this fucking game.
Yep. You went through Houston and Texas. I would say, yeah, you have a great chance. Who do you got, Mike?
I just want everyone to have fun.
All right. So you don't have a chance.
No, I would like to see FAU just for the hell of an underdog. And I think that they, you know, obviously they took care of K-State. So, yes. I mean, for me, since they beat K-State, I think I'd prefer them to win at all at that point. Otherwise, no, I don't really have an opinion, nor do I have a favorite, nor do I really know much about any of those teams remaining. So
I don't want to see UConn, just because I know they're not a blue blood, but they kind of give you that vibe of a blue blood. And so I'm just like, man, I don't want to see those guys win, because at this point they are kind of the favorite, but I hope somebody knocks them off.
Before I give you my deal, so my main bracket, it's kind of funny. My main bracket, all four of these teams, I lose in the first round. All four of these teams, I lose
all
in the first
four
round.
You're bullshitting.
You're telling me.
My final, this final four.
All of your final four teams all lost four. In the first round.
I had Miami
round.
Losing. I had UConn losing. I had San Diego State losing to Charleston.
So you took, you took the 12s to beat the 5s, and now we've got two 5s left in it. So I think it's interesting. We've got like
that's how crazy this bracket is right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. So we got a 4 versus a 5, and then we've got a 5-9, which is pretty awesome, man.
It is. So I'm rooting for Florida Atlantic. I'm actually rooting for either San Diego State or Florida Atlantic to win it all. I don't care who comes out of that side, truly. I'm FAU, but I don't care if either two.
I'm going for the U. Let's go.
I don't like Miami winning this. UConn's the most balanced freaking team between offense and defense. They're probably going to freaking win it all come Monday.
Hey, man.
But FAU is the second most balanced team, and that's why I'm going FAU, who I'm rooting for, but I still think UConn pulls this out.
I'll tell you what, dude. You know, Tanner and I were both KU fans. And so we never root for K-State. I'm telling you right now, I'm going for Nigel Pack, and he's a K-Stater.
Emu, baby. Emu. Is that what it is?
Emu? Emu?
Limu, emu.
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 I mean, Emaw?
I know what it is.
Wow. Okay, well.
I'm a Jayhawk.
You Jayhawk people are pretty strange.
I'm going for
Miami, dude. I hope they...
FAU.
Pretty strange over
there. Miami destroys FAU. Everybody.
Yeah.
And Charles here has FAU as well. So
that's all I got to say about that. Yeah. Anyways.
By the way, the ACC just sucks. Oh, right, man?
Awful.
How many times do I have to listen to that shit? Awful. Oh, the ACC sucks this year.
How about
you don't think Miami was listening to that shit?
I'm ready to talk more football next week. That's what I'm ready
I'll
for.
I'll bet you are.
That's what I'm ready for.
A big announcement coming after next week. I will not be here next week, guys, so you're stuck with these two buffoons. So good luck.
You might try to join, ooh, right, Tanner? No. You're not joining? So no. It'll just be me and you then.
Might be another dry show.
Oh, well, I don't know about it. We'll see about all that. So does that mean we have keys to the house, Tanner?
No, you're not coming in. I'm taking my computer with me, actually.
So. You want to come watch WrestleMania and get me set up?
I actually probably should. I'm also going to Limitless.
I'm going to watch WrestleMania over the weekend.
Well, I don't know if I'm coming over. I'll come over Saturday.
So I got a spare room. You got a bed over there.
Well, I'm going to Limitless Saturday.
So if he's not here, this is going to be that. It's going to be like that dry show that we had. Maybe
when
like
I was
18
in Arizona?
Months ago.
You mean the one
when
that
we
got...
went to a nondescript building that I will not mention what city it was in.
You
because
mean
we have one show ever that we ever did that got erased from the internet. Hopefully.
In a different city.
It
hopefully.
Is
different city.
Not forever. Viewable to everybody.
And it probably should not be viewable to anybody.
I can still watch it, but it's not viewable
would you,
to anybody.
Do you think you would show his daughter that video?
I would not show anybody.
Would you show your own daughter that video?
No.
I just like the fact that it was in a nondescript city, and we were dry.
Do you,
you
know,
and I were right. both dry as shit.
Oh, I know.
I was in Arizona, and then after I got done guesting, and then you guys got finished up, When I popped it on that night, I literally made it unlisted very quickly. So
we had to take that one down.
And it wasn't
that
like
was
it was
the one and only.
It wasn't vulgar or anything. It just wasn't good. It
I don't know about that. Vulgar. I don't know about that part.
It's just,
but
it just wasn't good, guys.
Yeah, it just was just a bad quality video.
As the
it's in the vault.
It's in the vault.
We'll bring it out at the vault one of these days.
One day when you guys get married again, we'll bring it out for the wedding.
Trust me, you want it. You want to see it. You want to see it, guys.
What
it was
the hell
epic.
Is that? What are you talking about?
Sounds like somebody'd say to me.
Exactly.
When you have a show,
you get married one day.
When you have a show that gets banned like that, it's epic, and you want to see it. You want to hear it. You want to know everything.
All right, guys.
Anyways.
Have a fabulous week. Enjoy the baseball's opener tomorrow. Enjoy the final little bit of NCAA tournaments. And the NBA playoffs are right around the corner. So,
and like, hopefully your team wins and stuff, you know, go sports ball.
Go.
Yeah. And with that said, I'll see y'all on the next one.
See you guys. We're out.
See you guys.